الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده على من لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا شريعة بعد شريعته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تأكلوا أموالكم بينكم بالباطل إلا أن تكون تجارة عن تراض منكم ولا تقتلوا أنفسكم إن الله كان بكم رحيما صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يتمنين أحدكم الموت ضر أصابته أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Respected علماء elders beloved brothers in Islam While the precise moment of the day of Qiyamah undoubtedly remains a mystery, However, none can deny nor doubt that the signs of Qiyamah and the symbols of Qiyamah have become more vivid, more apparent, and more manifest. In the hadith of Jibreel, where Jibreel Amin appeared before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he had a lengthy dialogue and he posed a host of questions to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of which was, Mata sa'a? O Nabi of Allah, tell me, when is the day of Qiyamah? To which Nabi alayhi salam responded, Mal mas'oolu anha bi'a'lama min as-sa'ili, that the one being asked, that is me, is no more learned than the one that is asking. In other words, the precise moment of the day of Qiyamah undoubtedly rests in the knowledge of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The next question of Jibreel was, فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنْ أَمَارَاتِهَا. Okay, listen, then tell me about the signs of Qiyamah. To which Nabi alayhi salam responded, أَنْ تَلِدَ الْأَمَةُ رَبَّتَهَا, that when a slave girl will give birth to her mistress, وَأَنْ تَرَى الْحُفَاتَ الْعُرَاتَ الْعَالَةَ رِعَاءَ الشَّاءِ يَتَطَاوَلُونَ فِي الْبُنْيَانِ, when people who lack respect, honor, and dignity will suddenly start amassing wealth, and they will put up high, high buildings, and they will enjoy great, great privileges. The first explanation the scholars explain, when a slave girl will give birth to a mistress, that when offspring will dominate over their parents, when juniors will govern over their seniors, then remember, oh my ummah, Qiyamah is very close. إِذَا وُسِّدَ الْعَمْرُ إِلَىٰ غَيْرِ أَهْلِي فَانْتَظِرِ السَّاعَةِ, when undeserving people are given noble posts, then remember that Qiyamah is very close. In the riwayat of Bukhari, La taqumu sa'a, the final hour will never be established until earthquakes and tremors become a common feature in this world. Brothers, haven't we seen these days? Nabi alayhi salam has also said that Qiyamah will not come until a man will come to the grave of his late brother, not to sympathize with the deceased, not to pay respects to his late brother, but fayatamarra. The Nabi of Allah says that he will stand by the grave, he will turn in the soil of the grave, and then he will address his deceased brother and he will say, Ya laytani kuntu makana sahibi hadha al-qabri, I wish I was the dweller of this grave and you were on earth. I wish I was the inmate of this grave. I wish I was the occupant of this grave. وَلَيْسَ بِهِ الدِّينِ, the Nabi of Allah says that don't assume that this was out of the passion of meeting Allah. But no, no, this will be as a result of the mounting pressure of material commitment, that this person will prefer dying than living in this world. Nabi alayhi salam says that this man will stand by the grave and he will passionately desire that, oh my brother, I wish I was in your place and you were in my place. Now the hadith that I quoted before you, Nabi alayhi salam says, لَا يَتَمَنَّيَنَّ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتُ, that none of you should ever desire death as a result of the material difficulties and adversities of this world. And if your problems and your difficulties brings you to a point where you no longer want to live, like we hear these statements today, it was assumed, it was hoped, it was imagined that the day I drove a better car, or the day I lived in a better house, or the day I went on those international vacations, that will put an end to depression and anxiety in my life, only to know that those are the very causes of depression and anxiety in my life. And if perchance, if you do not want to live given the difficulties, then the maximum flexibility there is in the matter, the Nabi of Allah says you can make the following dua. Allahumma ahyini ma kanatil hayatu khayran li, wa tawaffani idha kanatil wafatu khayran li, that O my Allah, let me live as long as it is good for me to live. I guess when it is better for me to go, then you take me away from this world, O my Allah. Brothers, let me share with you some chilling statistics in relation to the present day world with regards to depression, which is the contributing factor to suicide, which makes the focus of my topic today. In 1973, the World Health Organization had released statistics that 3% of the world population suffered from severe depression, going back to the early 70s. In 1978, 5 years later, this figure had risen to 5%. In 1981, there was a conference that was held in Chicago on mental disorders, and the chairman of that conference had announced, according to their research, it has been proven that 100 million people across the globe are victims of severe depression. A decade later, this was increased and multiplied. They say when you talk about depression and suicide, you know, one may wonder that maybe this is happening in some remote part in Africa, where people are living in abject poverty, where people don't even have the basic necessities like water to drink, food to eat. But wallah, the statistics are somehow startling and perplexing in this regard, that suicide and depression is more common amongst people living in first world countries and people coming from urban areas. One out of every four Americans is a victim of severe depression. Never mind the ordinary American. Some years ago, there was a report that had leaked out regarding one of the former presidents of the United States of America, and to be explicit, regarding Ronald Reagan, that in his late 70s, he had become a victim of immense depression. And the same is said regarding Napoleon Bonaparte, that when he was sent into exile, it was depression that had claimed his life. There was an article that appeared in one of the newspapers regarding the German woman who killed three of her own children and then she had committed suicide. When an investigation was launched into the matter, again it surfaced severe depression. So she felt that, you know what, rather me and my children in inverted commas die the peaceful way. They speak about euthanasia, the mercy killing. So as a result of depression, this is what she had done. Now, brothers, we have just come out of the holiday period. You know, they speak about anti-suicide awareness. There was a lengthy write-up, go onto the websites, you will see. You know, with regards to the alarming statistics of suicide amongst our youth, suicidal youths. And there is a suicide analyst who is based right here in Durban. According to his research, he says in South Africa alone, approximately 20 to 25 youngsters commit suicide daily, which potentially will claim the lives of 9,000 youngsters in 1 year, which is classified as the second biggest killer amongst youth. Any person under the age of 35 is prone to commit suicide. Every year, according to this research analyst, he says in South Africa alone, there are 150,000 unsuccessful suicide attempts in South Africa alone. They say a girl between the ages of 15 and 19 plans suicide more than boys. However, boys resort to more violent measures, perhaps putting a gun to the head, jumping from a cliff. You know, girls, maybe they might just take an overdose. A person suffering from HIV/AIDS has a 20% greater chance of committing suicide than any other person not suffering from the sickness. And furthermore, he writes, they have now launched a program which impacts on schools. You know, when a fellow learner has committed suicide, to empower and to enrich fellow learners so that they do not go down the same route. And in fact, there is a survey that was conducted in Japan that the internet had become an ideal tool for those isolated, depressed youngsters to find an accomplice to perpetrate this crime. So what happens? There are some of the suicide websites where these youngsters go onto these websites, they find company and they commit suicide in this way. Brothers, like I always say, do not take your children for granted. You know, many of us are living in a fool's paradise. Wallah, pick up the cell phones of your children. Wallah, at times what you will find on those cell phones, your heart will cry. Do not give your children access to that internet. There was a book that was authored in Japan, The Complete Suicide Manual, and this was rated the bestseller in Japan for one entire year. Brothers, I can give you statistics upon statistics. But you know what brings me to this topic? Allah save us, Allah save one and all. Suicide and depression has become a reality in the Muslim Ummah. You know, you can imagine when kuffar, when people who don't understand what is Jannah, who don't understand who is Allah, when they decide to perpetrate these crimes, this we can understand. But here we are speaking about Muslims who come from urban areas, when they decide to perpetrate this crime, like the poet says it, ab to ghabra ke ye kehte hai ke mar jayenge, mar ke bhi chain na paya to kidhar jayenge. Now at the point of frustration, you say, I rather kill myself, I rather shoot myself. But my question to you is, my brother, if after shooting yourself, if after killing yourself, if it only complicates and intensifies and makes matters even worse, what have you really achieved by this? Recently, there have been a spate of incidents where, unfortunately, in our own communities, brothers, areas where you and I live, where certain youngsters have perpetrated this crime. Like someone said it so beautifully, that in life, we all go through fluctuation of emotion. Thereafter, we all go through depression. But an intelligent man is not one who can increase his profits, but rather one who could transform his losses into profits. That is an intelligent man. So brothers, in essence, this is a reality that is staring at us. The hadith of Nabi alayhi salam says that none of you should ever desire death as a result of the material difficulties of this world. Perhaps there are many of us who will say that, you know what, I would never ever entertain the thought of suicide. But there are very few of us who don't desire death as a result of the difficulties and the adversities of this world. Which brings us to a very sensitive topic. Brothers, let me take you to the Battle of Badr, where Nabi alayhi salam stands up and he exhorts the Sahaba. These are those companions who have great goals, great ambitions in life. Here the youngsters of this dunya have no goals, no ambitions, no gumption. And then they decide to put a gun to their heads and then shoot themselves. Nabi alayhi salam exhorts the Sahaba, قوموا إلى جنة عرضها كعرض السماء والأرض. Advance towards the Jannah, the paradise, the width of which is equivalent to the skies and the earth. One Sahabi stands up and he says, بخين بخين يا رسول الله. You know, like in English you will say, so much will Allah give us. Wow, so much will Allah give us. Nabi alayhi salam looks at him. ما يحملك على قولك بخين. What makes you say this? He says, Raja'an an akuna min ahliha. The sheer hope that Allah make me from amongst the dwellers of Jannah. Nabi alayhi salam says, you have it from me, you have nothing to lose. Nabi alayhi salam tells him, your Jannah is guaranteed. He has some dates in his hand. He takes out the packet. Lain hayitu hatta akula min thamarati hadihi. Annaha la hayatun tawila. When martyrdom is staring at me, when the battle is ferocious, when my Nabi is exhorting me, when the hurs and the jannatis are looking at me, am I still going to sit back and digest these dates and prolong my entry into Jannah? No, no, he throws the dates on the ground. He runs forward and then he starts singing couplets. Rakdan ila Allah bi ghayri zadin illa tuqa wa amal al ma'adi. والصبر في الله على الجهاد وكل زاد عردة النفاد غير التقى والبر والرشاد. That I throw myself into the thick of this battle, keeping complete trust and reliance on Allah. Verily, that is what would aid man, and all other provisions would be exhausted on the day of Qiyamah. So brothers, this is the key issue. Those who desire death as a result of the difficulties and adversities of this world. To desire death on two occasions, scholars explain it is correct. One is when a person passionately desires meeting Allah. This is something that is encouraged in the hadith, and each and every one of us should anticipate meeting Allah. And the other instance is when a person fears in relation to the sin and the vice and the vulnerability and the exposure of this world. He fears that he would never be able to diligently honor the commands of Allah. Oh my Allah, times have become too difficult. Times have become too trying. I doubt I would be able to survive the temptations of this world. I beg of you, O my Allah, take me away from this world so that I do not become a victim of committing any crime. Scholars have mentioned that there is concession regarding death on such an occasion. And the best example to cite in this regard is none other than the Virgin Mary, whom Allah Ta'ala speaks about in Surah Maryam. فَأَجَاءَ الْمَخَاضُ إِلَىٰ جِزْعِ النَّخْلَىٰ. When she was on the verge, when she had conceived miraculously, and she was on the verge of giving birth, and a labor pains drove her to a trunk of a date palm. Now brothers, let us ponder and reflect for a moment. Our wives, our sisters, are giving birth in the best of clinics, in the best of hospitals. The most competent surgeons and gynecologists are around her. Husband is next to her to tap her. Then what they talk about, postnatal depression, antenatal depression. You know, I don't even know what these things are. Everything, you know, associated with depression. Whereas previously, these things were never heard of. You know, so you find before birth, there's counseling. After birth, there's counseling. With regards to birth, there's counseling. Imagine this woman sitting isolated, alone, in a place referred to as Baitul Laham. 8 kilometers north of Baitul Maqdis, sitting there alone, wondering how would she be able to adequately resist the accusations of these people. You have committed zina, you're an immoral woman. So she says this in a moment of desperation. Ya laytani mittu qabla hadha wa kuntu masyam mansiya. Oh my Allah, I doubt I would be able to adequately resist the accusations of these people. I wish I had died a long time ago and people had forgotten about me. No, no, they had forgotten the fact they had forgotten about me. Scholars explain that there is concession regarding death on such an occasion. However, to desire death as a result of the difficulties of this world, this can never be correct, never mind to commit suicide. Now, brothers, let me take you through the ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to give you a glimpse of the severity of this crime. Imam Muslim rahimahumullah has made mention of these ahadith in the first volume of Muslim, page 72, under Kitabul Iman. Nabi alayhi salam says, Man qatala nafsahu bihadidatin, that person who commits suicide with any steel object, fahadidatu fi yadihi, that knife will be given back to this man after he dies. Yatawajjahu bi'abibatni fi nari jahannam, he will continue stabbing himself, suffering the agony and the pain of death, but he will never die. How long? Khalidan mukhalladan fiha abada, he will remain in jahannam for eternity, suffering the pain and the agony of death, but he will never die. The second hadith, man shariba samman, Nabi alayhi salam says that that person who swallows poison, I mean how many youngsters overdose themselves. Brothers, these drugs are destroying so many youths. So many youngsters have died taking drugs. How many youngsters have died in this condition? You know, the very first thing that happens in such a youngster, brothers, I can tell you personally, you know, ask that youngster who is on drugs and he's flying on cloud nine. You know, when he becomes sober, either one of two things happen to that young boy. Either he takes another drug or either he commits suicide. That youngster has no other option left in his life. Nabi alayhi salam says, man shariba samman, that person who takes poison or he overdoses himself, فَهُوَ يَتَحَسَّاهُ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمْ, he will continue drinking that poison, suffering the agony of death, but he will never die. Let us just digress for a moment. Allah speaks about the severe torment of the dweller of Jahannam. Allah says, يَتَجَرَّعُهُ وَلَا يَكَادُ يُسِيغُ وَيَأْتِيهِ الْمَوْتُ مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانٍ, Allah says that Jahannami, he will be in severe thirst and he will ask Allah for something to drink. Allah will present to him boiling fetid water of blood and pus. He will try to take that water down. It would not be palatable, but his thirst will compel him to drink something. Allah says he will try to drink that water. يَتَجَرَّعُهُ وَلَا يَكَادُ يُسِيغُ, that water would never go down. وَيَأْتِيهِ الْمَوْتُ مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانٍ, and the severity of death will come to this youngster from every angle. وَمَا هُوَ بِمَيِّتْ, but he will never die. Can we imagine the severity? Brothers, this environment our youth are exposed to, that is why you find, alhamdulillah, the ijtima is coming up. That is an ideal opportunity for our youngsters to go into that environment and associate themselves with deen. Wallah, brothers, what has happened to the youngsters of this ummah? That كَيْفَ بِكُمْ إِذَا فَسَقَ شُبَّانُكُمْ وَتَغَى نِسَاءُكُمْ وَتَرَكْتُمْ جِهَادُكُمْ. Oh my sahaba, what would happen to my ummah when the youngsters of my ummah, when they will openly transgress the orders of Allah, when they in their dress, in their demeanor, in their manners, in their values, they would have thrown the orders of Allah to one side and they would have become open fasiq and open sinners. And when the women of my ummah, they will become rebellious and they will start parading the streets. Sahaba could not understand. Awa ka'inun dhalika ya Rasulullah. O Nabi of Allah, can such a condition ever befall my ummah? Nabi alayhi salam said, wa ashaddu minhu sayakun, that worse than that is to take place. Coming back to this hadith, Nabi alayhi salam says, man taradda min jabalin, that person who jumps from a cliff, from a mountain, وَقَتَلَ نَفْسَهُ, and then he killed himself, فَهُوَ يَتَرَدَّى فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمْ, he will continue jumping deeper and deeper into the fire of Jahannam, suffering the agony and the pain of death, but he will never die. Brothers, that is the first hadith. Although scholars explain that it is hoped in relation to the other quotations, because this person believed in Allah, he would not remain in Jahannam for eternity, but ultimately Allah will remove him from Jahannam. But the fact of the matter remains that the text of the hadith denotes the word eternity. This is sufficient to deter any sane-minded human. This is sufficient to deter any sane-minded individual. The second part of the hadith also appears in Muslim. Nabi Al-Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Kana rajulun mimman kana qablakum," that there was a person in the previous nations who was diagnosed with some sickness. فَخَرَجَتْ طَرْحَةٌ, there was an ulcer that shot out on his body. The pain became unbearable. This person could no longer contain that pain. فَأَخَذَ سَحْمًا مِنْ كِنَانَتِهِ, Nabi alayhi salam says he took out an arrow from his quiver. فَنَكَلَهَا, he started interfering with that wound, deliberately trying to induce death upon himself. The riwayat of Bukhari says, فَلَمْ يَرْقَ عَدَّمْ, blood started bleeding profusely, which ultimately claimed his life. Allah then said, بَادَرَنِي عَبَدِي بِنَفْسِي حَرَّمْتُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ, my servant has decided when he wants to die, I have decided there is no Jannat for him. My servant has decided when he wants to die, I have decided there is no Jannat for him. Sahal bin Sa'd al-Sa'idi radiallahu anhu says, I was in the gathering of Nabi alayhi salam. I was in the company of Nabi alayhi salam. According to one riwayat, Khaybar. According to another riwayat, Hunayn. فَلَمَّا مَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَىٰ أَسْكَرِهِ وَمَالَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ إِلَىٰ أَسْكَرِهِمْ, as the battle enraged and people took their strategic positions, he says, I remember explicitly, amongst the companions of Nabi alayhi salam, there was one person, لَا يَدَعُ لَهُمْ شَاذَّةً وَلَا فَازَّةً إِلَّا اتَّبَعَهَا يَضْرِبُهَا بِسَيْفِهِ. I remember very explicitly, there was this person who fought very ferociously, very vehemently, that anybody who came before him, he would behead this man to such an extent the ordinary Sahaba admired him and they said, مَا أَجْزَى مِنَّا الْيَوْمَ أَحَدٌ كَمَا أَجْزَى فُلَانٌ, that none has displayed such vigor, such courage like this man. Look at how courageous this man is. How many people have died at his hands? Nabi alayhi salam calls his Sahaba. He says, oh my Sahaba, that is your opinion regarding that man. Let me tell you what is my opinion. Ama innahu min ahli nar, that person whom you say is a jannati, let me tell you, he would suffer in the depths of Jahannam. Fakada ba'd al-muslimuna ay yartab, this created a sense of silence amongst the companions, that here is a man aiding the Muslims against the infidels, and here comes the Nabi of Allah and says that this man is a Jahannami. One Sahabi says, I came from the back and I said, Ana sahibu abada, I decided I'm going to follow this man, and most definitely something is going to happen to this man. His apparent situation suggests the noblest form of contribution, and that is martyrdom. But the Nabi of Allah says that this man is heading towards Jahannam. I said that let me follow this man and see where his taqdeer and his fate takes him. Nonetheless, I followed this man. We came to a certain point. There was an arrow that struck this man on his back. The pain became unbearable. He was on the verge of leaving this world, and to attain the rank of martyrdom. This person could no longer contain that pain. He took out that sword and he committed suicide there and there. The Sahabi comes running to Nabi alayhi salam, Ashhadu annaka Rasulullah. Once again, Allah gives us the opportunity to reaffirm our pledge that you are the Nabi of Allah. Within minutes, Allah proved the authenticity of your word. Nabi alayhi salam says, Wama dhaak, what are you talking about? He says, Ar-rajul alladhi dhakarta anifa, few moments ago, you know, you mentioned that man is heading towards Jahannam. This created a sense of confusion amongst the Sahaba. The Sahaba Ikram said, he's a Jannati. You said, he's a Jahannami. I decided to follow this man and see where his taqdeer and his fate takes him. We came into the battlefield. There was an arrow that struck this man on his back. He could no longer contain that pain. He took out his sword and he committed suicide there and there. Nabi alayhi salam calls Bilal, according to the riwayat of Muslim, and he says, oh Bilal, stand up. Inna Allah la yu'ayyidu hadha deen bir rajul al fajir. Make this announcement that Allah do not judge a man by his apparent condition. Many a time Allah can promote his deen at the hands of evil people also. Don't judge a man by his apparent condition. Many a time Allah can promote his deen at the hands of evil people also. Furthermore, tell the people, brothers, this is a hadith that should make you and I shiver. where people will engage in certain actions which ultimately will reflect that they're heading towards Jannah. Yet prior to death, that person will do a certain action which ultimately will advocate, will put that person into the fire of Jahannam. So this is an area of concern for us brothers. At every step of the way, it is time we look into our hearts and we introspect and look at our intentions. Now let us look at the teaching of Nabi alayhi salam. What a beautiful deen we enjoy, where every aspect of our deen has been discussed. Let me share with you one, two things very quickly that could enhance you, that could empower you, that could enrich you, so that you could come out of the stage of depression. Brothers, at the very outset, we need to understand. In my last Jummah, I spoke about this. I'm continuing on the same topic. We need to understand at the very outset that depression can never be from the side of Allah. Depression is from the side of Shaitan. Nabi alayhi salam has said something much higher than that. Al-utasu min Allah. That sneezing is from Allah. And yawning is from the side of the devil. Yawning. When a person yawns, that is from the side of the devil. When yawning is from the devil, we can well imagine what is depression. Scholars explain. They say, why is sneezing from Allah? When a person sneezes and he flushes out that mucus from his body, this brings about freshness, this brings about strength in the body, which will advance this person, which will assist him to carry out the orders of Allah. And when a person yawns, he becomes lethargic. Hence the Nabi of Allah says, when you sneeze, say Alhamdulillah. When you want to yawn, suppress the yawn. Because yawning is a reflection of the devil. Brothers, when yawning is a reflection of the devil, we can well imagine what is depression. You know, many a time today, people become depressed. And then we dwell on the past, the pains of the past, the miseries of the past. The Nabi of Allah says, take all precautions. But when something happens contrary to your desires, لا تقل له. Don't say, if only I did this, if only I did that. Why? The moment you use the word if, automatically you are creating an opportunity for the devil to infiltrate and lead you to depression. How did I lose on the deal? Brothers, it wasn't meant for you, it would never come. مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ كَانْ فِي وَقْتِ الَّذِي شَاءَ عَلَى الْوَجْهِ الَّذِي شَاءَ بِغَيْرِ زِيَادَةٍ وَلَا نُقْصَانٍ وَلَا تَقُدُّمٍ وَلَا تَأَخُّرٍ وَمَا لَمْ يَشَأْ لَمْ يَكُنْ. Whatever Allah desires, that is what would happen. I've mentioned this previously also. Brothers, do not dwell on the past. Something has happened in the past. Forget about the past. Let us look forward. Let us look towards the future. Nabi alayhi salam says, by dwelling on over the past, you're only creating an opportunity for the devil to plant his seed and ultimately take you to depression. Like someone said it so beautifully. Let me terminate on this. If you save yourself from four things in this world, you will never see what is depression. Save yourself from four things, you will save yourself from depression. Number one, don't moan and groan regarding Allah's decree in your favor. What has Nabi alayhi salam taught us? The dua appears in Hizbul Azam. Allahumma ardini bima qadaytali wa barikli fima qudirali hatta la uhibba ta'jeela ma akharta wa la ta'khira ma ajjalta. O may Allah bless me with inner contentment. O may Allah bless me with inner satisfaction. Then O may Allah bless me in whatever you have provided for me, so that I do not desire any change in what you have decided for me. I wish it was like this. I wish it was like that. No, no. O may Allah, whatever you have decided, I am content, I am satisfied with that. You know, there was a survey that was conducted in South Australia. You know, I like to listen to the statistics. A survey was conducted in South Australia on 80 girls ranging from the ages of 6 to 9 with regards to their health and their life. And this survey had proven, it was brought to their attention that 47% of these girls were unhappy with their figure at the age of 6. Girls at the age of 6 were unhappy with their figure, whereas previously it was assumed that this crave and this consciousness only kicks into that girl in her teens. But this survey has now proven that, you know, a girl at the age of 6 is conscious of how she looks. You know, like I mentioned the last time also, they speak about the typical American mentality of lowering the levels of obesity. It is like a person, you know, he comes to a McDonald's and he says that, give me a double cheesy burger with a Diet Coke, to drop the levels of obesity. And brothers, the major contributing factor to that today is media exposure. What our children are exposed to. Like I always say, brothers, I've seen it with my own eyes. Your son is 5 years old, you give him a cell phone that's worth 5,000 rands. He's 10 years old, you buy him a quad bike that's worth 20,000 rands. He's 17 years old, you buy him a car that's worth 500,000 rand. Wallah, brothers, the day you are dead and gone, that son of yours will commit suicide. I've seen it with my own eyes. So the first thing what scholars explain, don't moan and groan regarding Allah's decree in your favor. Number two, don't ever sin without repenting. The moment you commit a sin, make tawbah to Allah. Number three, don't hate people for the favors that Allah has given them. And number four, don't turn yourself away from Allah, otherwise Allah will forget about you. Don't turn yourself away from Allah, otherwise Allah will forget about you. Brothers, let me terminate on one last point. Wallahi, I've seen this in my life personally. The more you do good to someone else, it will enrich your life more than the next man. It will benefit the benefactor more than the next man. You do good to another man, it will make you feel good, it will make you feel nice. When you put your head down at night, you will say, Alhamdulillah, O my Allah, you have given me the opportunity to serve one person from your creation. One man can have a plate of food in front of him each night. Another person can have shelter above his head. Wallah, brothers, you will do this act, Allah will take you away from depression. What has Nabi alayhi salam taught us? After every salah, put your hand on your head and recite this dua. Allahumma adhib anni alhamma wal huzn. O my Allah, remove grief, remove sorrow from my heart, from my body. Brothers, let me terminate on this point. Perhaps many of us that are sitting here know of somebody's son, somebody's relative that have passed away in this way. Brothers, there is hope for such parents. Let us not shut the door upon such parents. This is my point. Do not commit suicide. But those of us whose son or some relative has passed away in this way, it is our belief that they are still Muslims. According to the riwayat of Muslim Sharif, the janazah will be performed, they will be buried in a Muslim Qabristan. Those of us who have had these unforeseen circumstances, number one, make dua to Allah. Number two, give charity. Make dua to the Almighty Allah. Inshallah, this will assist the situation of your son, of your relative. We make dua to the Almighty Allah. Allah, give us a beautiful death with Iman, in a condition that he is pleased with us, in the holy city of Nabi alayhi salam, so that we could rest in the graveyard of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we could be the first to enjoy the privilege at the hands of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah inspire one and all. Brothers, just one announcement. As we had mentioned also, that inshallah the ijtima would be taking place on the 21st, 22nd and 23rd of March in Indonesia. Inshallah, we should try and encourage one another to attend the ijtima, and especially our youngsters also, we should try and encourage them and send about in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, in this way, it will be a means of protecting iman, keeping iman alive in our families, inshallah, in generations to come. And we should pass this message over to our mothers and sisters at home, and we should request them to make dua for the ijtima. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a success. And Allah ta'ala make it a means of transforming this country. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring peace and salamat into this country.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة
الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والجنة للموحدين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين والصلاة والسلام الأكملان الأتمان على الركن الأعظم أفضل من تقدم ومن تأخر وعلى آله وأصحابه الغر الميامين أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تأكلوا أموالكم بينكم بالباطل إلا أن تكون تجارة عن تراض منكم ولا تقتلوا أنفسكم إن الله كان بكم رحيما وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يتمنين أحدكم الموت بضر أصابته أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفر ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وشفيعنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعصيهما فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر وأشهدهم في أمر الله عمر وأستقوم حيان عثمان وأقضاهم علي وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله اللهم اغفر للعباس وولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا رضوان الله تعالى عليهم وعن كل الصحابة أجمعين الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم وخير أمتي قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم أيد الإسلام والمسلمين في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها. عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون، فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون. Straighten the sufuf, make sure heels are in line, we're standing shoulder to shoulder.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر، أشهد ولا إله إلا الله، أشهد ولا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله، حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح، قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة، الله أكبر الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله.
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون. نحن أولياؤكم في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة، ولكم فيها ما تشتهي أنفسكم ولكم فيها ما تدعون، نزلا من غفور رحيم. ومن أحسن قولا ممن دعا إلى الله وعمل صالحا وقال إنني من المسلمين. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ولا تستوي الحسنة ولا السيئة، ادفع بالتي هي أحسن، فإذا الذي بينك وبينه عداوة كأنه ولي حميم. وما يلقاها إلا الذين صبروا وما يلقاها إلا ذو حظ عظيم. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله ولك الملك كله وإليك يرجع الأمر كله. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. جزى الله أن نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وانزله المقعد المقرب عندك يوم القيامة. ربنا أتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. اللهم إياك نعبد ولك نصلي ونسجد وإليك نسعى ونحفد نرجو رحمتك ونخشى عذابك. إن عذابك الجد بالكفار ملحق. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك.